But I want to read this from Psalms 57 tonight. And I want you to listen to the tone of this. David speaking here to the chief musician. You can stand for the reading. Y'all going to do it anyway if I said it or not. To the chief musician, Altisketh, Mictum of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Listen to this. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Listen to what he says here in verse 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. For they have prepared a net for my steps, and my soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. Go to Psalms 121. I'm going to read this for you real quick. You heard 57. David is in a place of despair. David is very perplexed. He said their teeth are like swords, their tongue is like a sword. They've got a snare set for me. They have got me trapped. It is a place of despair that David is writing from in Psalms 57. If we fast forward a little bit to Psalms 121, I love this chapter, Song of Degrees. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You can be seated. Now, I want you to look at the difference here of what David is writing between Psalms 57 and 121. We got a very stark difference going on here. In Psalms 57, David's in a place of despair. He's sad. He's upset. In Psalms 57, I was thinking about this. It was wrote some 40 years before 121 was wrote. Some 40 years before he was there. He was being pursued by the enemy when he wrote Psalms 57. Boy, when you're getting pursued, it'll really change the way you sing. It'll change the way you praise. It'll change the way you testify. It'll change the way you praise. It'll change the way you do things. When you are in a sorrowful state, man, you just worship God different than when you're in a happy state. It's just a fact of life. David was in that spot right here. He wrote it in tears when he wrote this thing. He was hiding from Saul. He was hiding from his own friends that was going to turn his back on him. Now, think about it. He was running from Saul without cause. In David's eyes, he was doing Saul a favor. He was coming in playing the harp for Saul, and Saul threw a spear at him. Not once. I wouldn't even go back in that guy's presence. But David did, because David served the king. So David went back in his presence, and Saul threw another spear at him. David was in a place where he was running from somebody that he did no wrong to, yet he was still hiding in a cave whenever he wrote this. The Bible says that as David went up one side of the mountain trying to run away from Saul, that Saul was coming up this side. And whenever Saul heard that he was over here, David ran over there. David spent many years, about 10 to 15 years of his life, trying to run from a man that he didn't understand why was even chasing him. And so when he wrote some of these Psalms, you see that sadness in what he was saying. A little bit later, we find the time where David was in Ziklag, and there, after they come in and they stole everything, they took the women and children, and his own friends, his own men wanted to kill David. So when David's writing this psalm, he writes it from that place of despair and sadness, the place that me and you really don't understand. We can read about it, but unless you've been through it, you really don't understand it the same way. I can tell you about some things that's happened in my life, but unless you've been there, you just don't feel it the same way. And when your testimony, you can tell me about some dark days that you had in your life, but unless I've been there, I can't feel it the same way that you feel it. But in Psalms 121, it was penned near the end of David's life. David wrote this from experience. It was after the giants. It was after the enemies. It was after all the battling. It was after all the fighting. It was after the persecution of Saul. It was after all these things going on in David's life. And David gained a new perspective of what he was looking at. So in one of these, in 57, he's in the hills. And in 121, he's looking at the hills. There's a big difference between your perspective when you're in it and when you're looking at it. Amen. You know what changed from 57 to 121? David went from tears to thankfulness. David's perspective changed. You know what I've realized? There are some things that can only be appreciated by changing your perspective. There are some things that I've been through that, man, going through it, I didn't appreciate it. There are times going through things that I don't appreciate what I had to go. But when I made it through, I looked back. And once my perspective changed, I'm like, you know what? God, you had my back through every bit of that. And I didn't see it. I was too busy, wrapped up in the moment, to see what you were doing. I had to change my perspective to see what God was doing. Amen? Thank God. You know, I went out west a few years ago. And I took pictures of some of the mountains out there. When I took those pictures, I sent them to. I sent some of those pictures to Amanda, and she looked at them. She's like, "Wow, that's amazing." And looking back on them, I went through them the other day, and I looked at those pictures, and I'm like, "Yeah, wow, that's amazing." The picture did not do justice of what I actually seen. You ever heard that been said? The picture just don't do it justice. You ever took a picture of you standing on a sloped hill? I mean, like a cliff, and you're like, holy smokes. You take a picture of that, and when you look at it, it looks like a gradual slope going up. And then you want to show somebody how dangerous it was, but the picture doesn't show that, amen? There are some things that you can only see because you have been through them, and you know what it feels like to go through it, amen? Whenever we look at what somebody else has been through, we can look at it from a picture perspective. I can look at what you've been through from a picture perspective. I don't know the darkest times of it. I don't know the depths of the valleys. I don't know the height of the peaks. I don't know how rough the terrain was. I don't know how rocky it was. I don't know how hard it was. I can just see the picture of what you have told me, but I can't appreciate it until it is that I've been. You see, the Bible says that we have a high priest unlike any other high priest, that he had, not only did he see the picture, he said that he went through it so that me and you will know that he knows our pain. He knows what we've been through. He's been there. Thank God he bought the t-shirt for it. He knows every bit of it. Amen. He's already been through it for me and you. That way he can relate. Whenever Jesus says, "I know what you're going through," then you can believe that he knows what we're going through. Well, I thought about David remembered those hills. And hidden in those hills were some of the darkest moments of David's life. Hidden in those hills were some of the greatest revelations that God ever gave David, though. You see, the darkest times are often some of our brightest times with God. If we sum up David's life to most people, if you don't read the Bible much, maybe like a child is telling the story of David, they tell how David was a shepherd boy. He was chosen amongst eight of his brethren, and he was anointed to be king, and we know that. And soon after, he slayed the giant of Gath. And then later on, we find that David was a very successful king. He messed up with Bathsheba up on top of that roof, but God accepted him back, and David lived to be this great king. We know all the high points of David's story whenever we tell it, but what the parts that we miss when we sum up these things is the dark moments in David's life. I can tell you my church testimony. My church testimony is that, yeah, my family left. Yeah, I drank a lot. And yeah, I got them back because of the Lord. And we can all praise the Lord because that's a good testimony. But if you want to hear the unedited version, it gets a little nasty there. Things get a little bit dirty there. You got to go through some trenches to hear the real version of what happened. You got to get down in the slumps to know what I really went through. But thank God, I'm telling you right, because I've been there, I can feel what you're going through. So I feel the pain of what it feels like to go through those things. The parts you don't see, the parts that we skip over during our testimony is the parts that shaped us the way we are. There's things about me that the reason why I am, you know, the reason why I woo in church so much is because of where I've been. I've been at a place where I wooed for everything else. Boy, I can't help it. When I get in the presence of God, I got to give him a woo, because I'm telling you, if you know where I'd been, you'd understand why I feel the way I feel about where God has got me right now. Those peaks and those valleys contain God's provision. Let me tell you something. I've made more money this year than what I made a year or two ago. Now, that's not saying much. If you can do math and you know that $0 times any amount of money is still $0. But what I want to say about that is this. I've made four times that $0. Amen. Still ain't much. But what I want to say about it is this. I'm more broke now than what I was when I was relying on God for everything that I need. God, I don't have a job. Lord, I need money. Lord, the bills are due. But God provided everything that I ever needed. Not because of anything that I am, but because of who He is. There are still times. I got a long drive to work. And there are still times that I'll sit in my vehicle, turn off everything in that vehicle, and I'll just go to a place in my mind. God, you remember where I was? God, you remember me crying? God, you remember how dark it was right then? God, you remember when I said, Lord, just take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Everything is broke. But it was there in those moments that I felt the provision of God to be sustainful, to go on for me, to pick up where I dropped off. It was there in those moments when I can look to those hills. I can look back. And you may not get to see them the way that I see them, but I've been through those hills. I know what those hills felt like. And hidden in those hills is my testimony. Hidden in those hills. I believe that's what David looked at. When David said, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I believe David looked and said, I remember running from a man who sought my life, but God was there. I remember running that he was going to kill me, but God was there in those hills. Hidden in the hills is the greatest testimony you'll ever have. Sometimes we despise those moments. I don't want to go back through it again, don't get me wrong. But boy, I thank God for it. I don't ever want to have to be in those places again. But man, I thank God that He took me through those. Because boy, I found something there that I wouldn't trade you for anything in this world. I found God there in the darkest moments of my life. I found God there when everybody else was gone. God was there holding me. Those hills are the place of my greatest protection. They're a place of deliverance. A place where God kept me safe in the cleft of the rock, where He hid me there. And boy, I needed hit a lot, amen. I believe David shaped a lot of his writing during this time. Maybe that's when he wrote, "Yea, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death." David knew that he'd been through that valley. He knew he'd been through the hills, and you couldn't tell him that God was. Let me tell you something about my life now. Because of what I've been through, you can't convince me that God was not the one who picked me up of where I was. It takes that perspective. Because of what you've been through, whatever it may be, is why you can't convince yourself. Nobody can convince you that God wasn't there. I don't need no scientist to tell me that. I don't need no religion to tell me that. I'm telling you from the Spirit of God living in me, where he found me at to where I am now doesn't make sense. There's no earthly reason for me to be here right now and not where I was heading. Amen. But because of who he is, man, I tell you, God done a lot of things in the hills. A lot of things in the times that me and you don't get to see. But do you know what the truth of the matter is? I spent a lot of time in solitude during those hills. I spent a lot of time in crying. I spent a lot of time in tears. I didn't have my family to reach out to. They was gone. I didn't have anybody to reach out to. They get dark. The hills get dark. Amen. There are some times in our lives where nobody can comfort us. Nobody can, I can call you, but you may not want to talk to me. There are some times in life that nobody can comfort us. There are some times that, man, the hills get lonely. You think David was lonely laying in that cave? My goodness, man. There was times in my life over this past couple years that self-inflicted, of course, that I was so lonely. And I was so just in despair. That terrain is rough. The road is rough. The hill's too steep. The valley's too low. There are times there that I did not want to be in. But I'm telling you right now, David said that weeping will endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I'm telling you, though those times were dark for me, and though those times for your life may have been dark, wherever it is that you had been at, I'm telling you that there is joy in the morning for the child of God. Because those times are but for a moment of what God has prepared for us. I kept thinking about how during these times of my life, and I've heard other people give their testimony to me, and they've told me, they're like, there are things that I just can't tell you about. There are things that I'll never tell anybody about, and that's fine. I don't need to know them. God does. There are some things in my life that I would never tell you about. But man, I serve one that still loves me. I serve one that still has me. I serve one that said, regardless of what you've done, I love you. And that's why the Bible says that God proved his love toward us. In that while I was yet a drunk, that God still loved me. That still blows my mind that anybody would still love me, even after everything that I had done. But that's God. Well, you know, I was saying, I wonder what the hills that we look to is. Some of us have a bad marriage, and we've overcome that marriage. That God has restored that marriage. That's a hill we can look to. Some of us have come through addiction. You've come through deliverance. You have come through alcohol. You've come through things. And now, at this point in your life, you can look back and you can say, I remember being in those dark moments, in those lonely moments. Sometimes for fun, I like to take the devil back to the hills to show him where God brought me from to where I am now. Sometimes for fun, I like to just wear him out and show him, you can't have me. Thank God today God's got me. I believe sometimes that's what we need to do, is take the devil back to those places and say, you remember when you said that I would never overcome, that I wasn't good enough, that I didn't have what it takes, that I would die in this cave? You remember when you said that I would never fix this, I would never get my marriage back, I would never get deliverance, I would never get a job back, I would never get anything back? You remember when you said that? Boy, I like to take him there sometimes. Thank God today. I'd like to take you there to show him just where it is that God can take somebody to. Boy, I was thinking about Joseph in the Bible, how his brothers cast him in that pit. When they cast him in the pit, he was sold into slavery. And then years later, he's in a prison dungeon. But then we find that he was promoted to second in line over all of Pharaoh's stuff. And I thought about how Joseph, maybe at some times, he must have looked back and say, I'm second in line, but a couple years ago, I was in a dungeon pit that was so dark. You think there was times that he was depressed, sitting in that dungeon thinking about, God, you called me, you said that you got me, yet here I am. Why am I here right now? There must have been times that Joseph thought that. Thought about old Peter. And Peter denied the Lord three times. Three times denied. You think there was times after Pentecost that Peter must have looked back and said, can you believe that I'm the same one that said I don't know the Lord three times and yet God is using me to establish a church here? There must have been times in Peter's life that he looked back and thought that. I don't know what you're going through. And I don't know where it is that you've been, but let me tell you something. There's some hills that I can still point to. There's some hills that I still point to and say, hey, that's where I come from. That's not where I am, but that's where I come from. There's a song on radio, and I'm not advertising for the song. There's a song on the radio that said, where I come from is cornbread and chicken. Amen. But let me tell you, where I come from was a lot of cocaine and beer. But that's not where I am now. Amen. That's where I used to be, but it's not where I am right now. Where I come from isn't a good place, but it's not where I am now. You see, where God took me from does not have to be where it is that we end up at. A lot of people thank God that just because you come from a bad house, that you got to raise your children in a bad house. Just because you was there don't mean you is there. Amen. Thank God today. Hey, I was there at one time, but I'm not anymore. You know what makes you a failure in life? Is when you stay there. You're not a failure when you fall. Thank God I fall. I fall hard. I fall on my face. I fall all over the place. And that rhyme didn't even mean it to. But you're not a failure for falling. You're a failure for staying down. You're not a failure because you messed up. You're a failure because you don't get back up. The proverb says that a righteous man, though he falls seven times, will rise back up again. And you see, it don't mean that when you mess up that God wants to completely. That's the way I figured it. I used to serve God with like an anvil, like a cartoon, just hung over my head. As soon as I messed up, God's cutting that anvil on me. Well, you're no good to me anymore. But that's not who God is. My God says, I know you messed up, but let me bring you back in. I know you fell, but I can clean you up. I know you was there, but you don't have to stay there anymore. Ooh, thank you, Lord. God done some amazing things in my life. This ain't about me, but I'm telling you, it's about one who done some amazing things in my life. And I love to look back at the hills sometimes. I remember going down to even Sam's house one night, and he called me down there, and I thought, you know, my life's over. It's done. It's finished. And Sam began to tell me about the love of God and how even though, Thomas, you've messed up, God still loves you. And I was trying to comprehend what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. It makes no earthly sense. But me standing here don't make no earthly sense either. Makes no earthly sense, the love of God. I think oftentimes I try to comprehend what God's done in that sense. I try to comprehend how God has moved on me and what God's done in my life. And I try to put it in earthly terms. You got to understand where I've been to understand what God's done. But God's love is not understandable by a human mind. Listen, I'm going to tell you about one last heal. One last heal. I was thinking about this the other day, and man, I'm not gonna sing. I tried that once, it didn't go good, but I want to read you something. Amen. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I was thinking about this hill of guilt and shame, a hill where mercy and truth met. It was the hill where righteousness and peace kissed. It was the hill that Jesus looked to. And I'm telling you there at Calvary that Jesus looked towards a hill that laid the darkest days of his life. It was the most hurtful time of his life. It was the deepest valley that he would ever have to walk. But the Bible says, but for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, Jesus looked towards the hill, not because of what he was going to go, but he knew his perspective was going to change in about 3 days, that he would have to endure it. But thank God on the other end, there was salvation for me and you. Now I want to read this to you as they come and get us a song. You ain't going to sing this one. I don't expect you to. It's slow, so I'm not going to read it slow. It says, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. And I'm telling you right now, it's that hill that I can look to, that even though I was down in the valley, even in the times that I didn't think I was going to make it, God had already saved my soul, but I was still in the valley. God had already saved my soul, but I was still running through the hills trying to escape them things that I had went through. But I'm telling you, there was one hill that stood out further than any other hill stood out. It was a hill called Calvary that I could look to, and I could say, right there is the destination. It was there that I tried to get. It was there that I wanted to get. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know how dark your hill is. I don't know if you're still in it. I believe some of us are in Psalms 57 and we're still crying to God. And some of us are at a 121 moment and we can say, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. I know what God done for me. He didn't slumber when I was there. He didn't sleep when I was there. He didn't take vacation. He wasn't on a hiatus. He was there every bit of the way. I know what God's done. I don't know what his plans for me in the future is. I don't know what his plans for you in the future is. But I'm telling you this. If you hold on. If you get through. If you just make it. You know how you climb a hill? One step at a time. One step at a time. He didn't say it'd be easy. He didn't say it was going to be something we could just skip up and down along the way. Thank God I had to fight through the hill. I sweat through the hill. I cried through the hill. I bled through the hill. But I come out of the hill. Amen. I come out on the other side. And Jesus said, because I've come out on the other side, you come out on the other side. Well, God has took me through it. But I wouldn't change that for nothing. I don't know where it is that you stand with God. I don't know where it is that you are at in your life. And you may be at a place where you're thinking, I can't overcome this. It's too deep. Take another look. Take another look at it. My marriage is over. It's gone. It's done. It's broke. It's over. Mine was too. Take another look at it. Take one more look at it. Oh, I'm telling you today, I feel for your sons and daughters that are addicted. I pray for them. I know that feeling. And I'm telling you, I weep for them. And I'm praying, don't give up on them. Take another look at it. Take another look at your children. Take another look at your spouse. Take another look at your mom and your dad. Take one more look. It's not over. It's not over. They used to say, it's not over till the fat lady sings. I don't read about no fat lady in this word. But I tell you, it's not over until the trump of God sounds. Amen. But right now we have time. Take another look at it, because God works in the hills. God